And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, if you understand Vulcan, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, the penalty for not obeying God's commands was severe for Adam and Eve. For all of their offspring, too, which includes us. There was immediate spiritual death, separation from innocence, pain and physical death, not to mention the destruction of nature from sin's stench. So is it any surprise that the penalty for disobedience carries a high price now? No, should be no surprise. Next, praise the Lord for making the king. Get it? God made the king do something. But Dave, the only way to change things is by ferocious political agendas. Dum, 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 dum. God can make all the people in our country cluck like chickens. He can move leaders. Maybe we should believe that more. And finally, do you want to know one of the most encouraging portions of our faith? You want to know what the most encouraging portion of our faith is? Knowing that the God of the universe is with us no matter what we feel like, no matter what we see with the natural eye, and no matter what the world says, he is the king of the universe, and with him and you, it's a majority.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? So you can simply respond to us by emailing david@hemustincrease.org. If you do that, it will come right to my $1.19 Chromebook right here on the desk. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text. Notice what I said there? Text. Notice what I said there? Text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And Amazing Jen will answer the phone for you. Isn't that amazing? You bet. Here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a thought or a question. Maybe you want to share something you feel the Lord's showing you. Or maybe you just, you know, you got a comment. You want to encourage the brotherhood. You want to let people know that you're praying for them. Potentially, you know, you have a praise report. Maybe you even have a prayer request or a possible answer to trivia, Bible trivia. What might be a good question for Bible trivia? Here we go. Where did Jesus attend a wedding reception? Where did Jesus attend a wedding reception? If you think you know the answer, you can call in, like we said, 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email david@hemustincrease.org, which, by the way, leads you to hemustincrease.org, which is where you can give and participate and get to know us a little better, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so the question is, where did Jesus attend a wedding? Da, 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 da. I will say that Joanne and Cordelia, though guessing slightly, are guessing well. That's a nice way to say that, right, girls? Guessing slightly guessing, but slightly guessing correctly. Okay, that's a good thing. We're going to get ready to fire into our Ezra text. The first portion's a lot tougher than the second, third, and fourth portion. We do have somebody calling in, but I don't know yet if they're calling to order a pizza, which we're out of pizzas, or if they're ordering us a pizza, or if they're going to answer the trivia questions. We're going to find out. Are they calling to answer the trivia? Yes, they are. Okay, I'm leaning over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you? Hey, we were praying for your daughter-in-law at the beginning of the show at the 1:30 time. You did, I hope everything is going okay.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. You know, one good thing is the baby's kind of large. He's at least 5 pounds, okay?
Oh, that's good.
That's very good. And, tomorrow they might go ahead. I'll see he's and deliver him tomorrow, but that'll be 35 weeks out. And because he's had some stressful moments,
right,
which isn't good. It's not good for him. So anyway, now I wanted to just say a couple of things.
Okay.
I discovered that Obadiah is one chapter. It's one chapter long, along with we have one chapter in the New Testament. One name, one that's only a chapter long, and I thought these would be wonderful questions. This would be a wonderful question. Which is the shortest chapter in the New Testament, and which is the shortest chapter in the Old Testament?
Those are very good questions, okay. Mary. Besides that, it's Psalm 117 is going to be the shortest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that right off the bat. I have a feeling that's correct since I just read it this morning.
What is this, 117, you
yeah,
said?
Yeah, that's the one that's like three verses.
Oh, boy.
But I'll let other people work on the other one. But let me ask you a question. Do you remember where the wedding was that Jesus attended? Do you remember what city it says the wedding was in that Jesus attended?
Yes. And then I have one more thing to say.
Fire away.
It was Cana. It's C-A-N-A.
Cana, that Cana. Is correct. Cana is right. Cana of Galilee, that is 100% correct.
Okay, now I have one question. Now, in John 12, it talks about Jesus going to Bethany, and that's where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived.
Yep.
And it also says in that at the beginning, this is the beginning, that Mary washed and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair and anointed his feet with oil. Okay,
correct.
Now that's that. Now in the 7th chapter of Luke, we have the same sort of thing, but this takes place in a Pharisee's house, which is Simon the Pharisee.
Okay.
And so my question is, what do we know the woman's name in Luke? Now, we know the woman's name in John because that was the sister of Martha. But do we know who anointed Jesus' feet with the oil and wiped them with her hair?
Yes.
And
there is a conclusion to that, and I'll tell you what that is. And I'm only going to give you the soft answer because otherwise we're just going to be completely out of time. But in Luke set what we would call an orderly account. So in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts, as you read the book of Acts, you notice that it's a very orderly account. So he even tells you it's orderly. And Luke was a physician, so it's not real surprising that when he would write, he'd be writing more principle upon principle upon principle and issue upon issue. So Luke is more of a specific account step by step by step. John starts off the whole thing. I mean, he's there's the synoptic gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then there's John. It's like John was on another planet. Not that he was on another planet. It's just like he was on another planet. And so when he's the guy that wrote the Revelation, the book of Revelation. So there's a lot more that's going on in John's mind than maybe average the way you would think of Matthew, Mark, or Luke. The story is the same person, but it's put at different points for the different points of Ephesus. Luke's gospel is always more orderly. John's is more, this guy's amazing kind of gospel. And you have to understand something about the gospels. Really important, and it's worth noting. The gospels are not specific historical events for history's sake. They're four encounters that people had with Jesus Christ. If I saw Jesus healing a person and noticed it from one side and you looked at it from another side, the same story might have different descriptions. That's the biggest part about that story is what you're thinking is, well, they all must be the exact same. It's like, no, that's not true at all. I can go to a movie and watch it and say, well, the main point of that movie was this. And you can go to that same movie and go, no, the main point was this. And it might be the exact same movie, but different perspectives give different translations. That's all that's going on. The Gospels are four encounters with Jesus Christ, and that's what's being recorded. You understand? It's not this so perfect fact book. It's a communication.
Simon was at Martha and Mary's house then too?
Yeah. So the idea is many people think it wasn't specifically at the house. They think it was in another locale and that it was always brought together. It was brought together. But I'm out of time. I will do a research for you and give you a more clear answer if you give me a couple of days. Is that all right?
Okay, but in John, now we remember that he gives a location. He says in Bethany.
I will review that.
Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived.
I will review that with you in regards to that, and I'll use some scholarly materials and I'll give you a clearer answer either tomorrow or Wednesday. Okay.
Okay.
That good?
Oh, okay.
You
all right?
Got
try
it.
Tomorrow. You know what? I'm gonna miss some days.
Okay, well, I'll do my best,
and
if you don't hear it, I'll send you a little note to tell you where it's at, okay? So you can know.
Okay, because I'm going to see the 21st, that's tomorrow. The 21st, I won't hear you.
The 21st will be Wednesday, today's the 19th, yeah. Okay, I will do my best to get that for you.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you, Mary.
You can always call me on my...
Yes, ma'am.
If you have my phone number.
I have your number. I will call you. I promise.
Go, but I would like to. I'd like to.
You got it. All right, Mary, we got to exit right here.
I have to wait. I'll give you more time.
Okay.
Oh, gee, wait. I have surgery on the 27th.
That's all right. I'll get you taken care of. I'll get it taken care of for
Well,
you.
Anyway. Well, we'll talk on the phone about it, maybe.
Okay.
Okay? Because
all right.
I'm going to be missing your program this week. This is probably the only day I'm going to hear your program.
Well, I'll get it to you one way or another.
Wait, you can tell me tomorrow. Tomorrow's the 20th. If you have time to tell me tomorrow, you can. I'll be here on the 20th. I won't be here after that, okay?
You got it, Mary. Love you.
All righty.
All right, you take care. We're praying for you. We're praying for your daughter-in-law, okay?
Yes, thank you much. I really appreciate that.
You got it. All right, God bless. All right, bye-bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a bad day day? Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day? I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like. And then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to... Not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like.
This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Rocky and his friends premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked the cartoon. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through?
Natasha and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with the it was so funny. I mean, it was some pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together, and I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove. And then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven, that doesn't sound right. Skydivid, that doesn't sound right. Skydiv, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird. Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, going, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they experiment with you when drugs, when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day, and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm going to answer Mary's question right now because I already did the research on it. You think, how could you do the research in 3 minutes? Well, believe me, I have a lot of material here. She was right, I was wrong. Okay? There's a shocker. Are you kidding? Do you know how many times I get in this show and say I'm wrong? It's unbelievable how many times I say I'm wrong. I say I'm wrong so much, I'm not sure I'm allowed to say I'm right. The reference that she's talking about in Luke chapter 7 is, in fact, a different person than the reference that was made in Mary in John chapter 12. So you are correct about that, Mary. So there you can know that. In John 3, this is the description by one of the scholars. The description of the woman suggests she was a prostitute. She is not to be confused with Mary of Bethany from John chapter 12, verse 3. So that it is a different person in Luke chapter 7 than it is in John chapter 12. So I was wrong. Okay? And you know how you say when you do something and you're wrong? You go like this. I was wrong. See, that's how you do that. Watch it. I was wrong. What's more amazing is that you guys kind of know a little bit about Noel. I don't know why anybody would find that amazing at all because I'm really good at going, I was wrong. I was wrong. She's only been wrong like once. But, you know, I can't do anything. Anyway, so Mary was correct about that. So I want to give her props for that. So Mary, the answer is we do not know the name of that woman. She was a prostitute. We do not know who she is. And it is not the same person as Mary, the Mary referenced in Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in 12. Okay? Okay. Got that done? Done. Okay. Trivia question. Here we go. Which gospel opens with the words, in the beginning was the Word? In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. You got a 1 in 4 shot. So I think you guys can come up with this. You can call in 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. In the beginning was the Word. Which gospel starts with that? I can't even remember what we're doing. What are we doing? Oh, I got to do my – you don't even know either. I feel so bad. You know, Jennifer gets thrown in the middle of this, but what are you going to do? All right, ready? Okay. This is not that funny of a joke.
So let me just say ahead of time, this might get buzzed. Okay? I can't give you any guarantees on this one. Here's a joke, and then I'll get into the teaching. I promise. I'll get there eventually. A fundamentalist Christian couple felt it was important to own an... somebody's already calling it. We're going to push everything back in lieu of the fact that my timing is just poor today. It's just something that happens. It's funny because I got most everything else done and on track. I just can't get the show done and on track. I just want to point that out. The trivia question, straightforward, is which of the Gospels start with the words, "In the beginning was the Word"? Everybody who's texting in is getting it correct. Do we have somebody who's ready to answer that? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. I'm going to answer that question. Yeah, this is Cordelia.
How are you, Cordelia? It's wonderful to hear your voice.
I'm fine, thank you.
You know, you don't sound entirely different than Joanne. So it's just one of those things. Like, wait, did she call it again? Excellent. I'm going to let you fire away on this one. This is a great question because it does show how different this person is. Which gospel begins with the words, "In the beginning was the Word"?
That's John 1:1, and I have memorized that, and I just love that.
Excellent. That is correct, Amundo. You are 100% correct. And that, what's amazing is John's like the only guy that goes, okay, watch this. I mean, John was just really different. It's just a nice way to put it. But if you saw Revelation, you'd be like, okay, I'm different now.
Right. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and that one was not anything made that was made.
That is amazing. Look at that. Wow. I'm just going to have you call up and quote scripture.
Well, I did memorize the whole chapter one time, but it's just that I'm a little nervous right now.
Good for you. That was an excellent job. I really appreciate that. That was great work.
Okay.
All right.
And thank you.
Thank you. God, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And God bless you. You guys are great.
Okay. All right. God bless you, too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Awesome. It's so fantastic. Isn't our audience wild? You guys are crazy. You guys are crazy. All right. We're going to wait on the joke. I've decided to wait on the joke because I do have to do some of this teaching in Ezra or I'm not going to get any of this teaching done. So I'm going to do this. Okay, so I'm going to hold on the joke. Doesn't mean I'm not doing the joke. I'll probably do the joke in the fourth section. We're in Ezra, and I'm just going to go into this teaching that I wanted to do in Ezra chapter 7. This would be verse 27. It says this: "Praise the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who made the king want to beautify the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And praise God for demonstrating such unfailing love to me by honoring me before the king, his council, and all the mighty princes." So as we're going through this text, there's something I want you to catch. It's really important because people need to take a deep breath, absolutely stop freaking out, and remember who is actually in charge. I love it because Kirk, the pastor at the church that I attend in Stillwater Community Church, taught a little bit about this yesterday in church, which is ironic because I set this up on Friday of last week. And that is this: God took a Gentile king and had him make the situation profitable and a blessing for the children of Israel to rebuild the temple and to get the stuff going. And the scripture says, without any restraint, "Praise the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who made the king want to beautify the temple." Okay, now watch this. Ready? This is what I said. Who made the king want to beautify the temple? God. What did God do? What he wanted. What does God do? What he wants. In the beginning, you heard me say something silly, like if God wanted everybody in the country to cluck like chickens, he could make you do that. If you think for one millisecond God couldn't do that, you don't understand God at all. If God so declared every human being will cluck like a chicken as of right now, Every person on the planet that had any noise coming out of them would cluck like a chicken. I agree it would sound weird. I'm not saying it wouldn't. But if that's what God desires, that's what would take place. And the idea that everything that takes place has to be from our ferociousness is just every ounce short of as ridiculous as can be. Who was it who rules in the affairs of men, according to the book of Daniels? According to the book of Daniel? God rules in the affairs of men. When Nebuchadnezzar stepped out of line, what did God do? Turned him into a cow. What more does anybody need to know? Hey, taking a little credit there, huh, Nibby? Huh, Nibby? Can you say the word Elsie? Because you can now. And then boom. And here's what we got to get. God is in charge. Well, why would God allow? Isn't that the same question you've been asking since the day after you got saved? Why would God allow? Okay, got it. Not for any reason you would understand or I would understand or anybody else would understand. That's what Job said. Well, why would God? Yeah, right. God's bragging about Job, but according to Job, he's getting the raw end of the stick. It's like, wrong, Job. God's bragging about you. Oh, well, if I'd have known that, you see how that would be different? Then Job would have went, hey, yeah, sure, cool, whatever. Yeah, uh-huh, that's great, awesome. I did great for two chapters. It's the other 29 chapters that it was not going so great. Here's the bottom line. God made a Gentile king want to beautify the temple of God for the people of Israel. God rules in the affairs of men. Men do not rule in the affairs. The government did it. I built it. Oh, you're both so ridiculous, it's pathetic. Every breath you take is a gift from God. That air in your lungs, you owe him for. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for the next trivia question. Boy, I hope you're ready. How old was Jesus when his parents took him to the temple in Jerusalem for the Passover? Now, that's an easy one, and I expect everybody to get that. How old was Jesus when his parents took him to the Passover at Jerusalem? If you think you know the answer, that's an easy one. Call 972-445-0770 if you know the answer. 214-210-8483 on the text. And then the website is hemustincrease.org. I cannot remember. Did we redo the website the one time or not? Or I can't even remember. Did we?
I think we just did it once.
Okay, we need to do it a second time because the website's the place where you want to give, and I'll just make this easy. You really feel like giving if the Lord puts it on your heart. Notice what I'm saying? You really feel like it if the Lord puts it on your heart. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. So that's the trivia question. How old was Jesus when his parents took him? I'm going to do my joke here, and we're going to do history in the next segment. And why are we doing that? Here's the answer to that. Why not? You can't see him. See, some things, you just can't argue on something. It's like, okay, all right, there you go. Now, this is a very non-biblical, non-scriptural joke. The word Bible is in it, and the word faith is in it, but that's it. Okay, just go with it. A fundamentalist Christian couple felt it was important to own an equally fundamental Christian pet. So they went shopping. At a kennel specializing in this particular breed, they found a dog they liked quite a lot. When they asked the dog to fetch the Bible, he did it in a flash. When they instructed him to look up Psalm 23, he complied equally fast, using his paws with dexterity. They were impressed. They purchased the animal, and they went home, piously, of course. That night, they had friends over. They were so proud of their new fundamentalist dog and his major skills. They called the dog to show off his skills to their friends. The friends were impressed and asked whether the dog was able to do any of the usual dog tricks as well. This stopped the couple cold, and they hadn't thought about the normal tricks. Well, they said, let's try this out. Once more, they called out to the dog, and then they clearly pronounced the command, heel. Quick as a wink, the dog jumped up, put his paw on the man's forehead, closed his eyes in concentration, and bowed his head and prayed. See, heel. Okay, and that's gone. Okay, that's what is it for me? Four buzzers. That's a big one. Okay. No, I did not see every joke was funny. I did see every. I really wasn't that good a joke. Okay. Let's move on to the next section. This is something I think you'll find awesome. In Ezra 7, right after that verse 27, look at what Ezra writes. Praise the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who made the king want to beautify the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, and praise him for demonstrating such unfailing love by honoring me before the king, his council, and all his mighty princes. I felt encouraged because the gracious hand of the Lord my God was on me. There's two absolutely phenomenal elements right here in this text. This is one of the reasons why I really enjoy this study that we're doing. We're doing it a lot different. I'm expository teaching a narrative story. It's just kind of fun. And the idea here is that there was first, Ezra was acknowledging, giving praise to God that he had made the king do something that was beneficial for the Jewish people, made a Gentile king do something for the Jewish people, which is just like, how bizarre is that? And then he says, and praise him. And by the way, we're supposed to praise the Lord for the things that he does, not complain. And then he praises him for demonstrating unfailing love. Now, there's a lot of things that you and I have done in our Christianity, and some of those things have been good. I mean, there have been good things that we've done, but there are other things that we've done that have not been good. And sometimes we are fully diligent in our pursuit in the Lord, and sometimes we fall short. It is one of those things where you look at, and if you can't be honest about it, then there's a whole separate question. One of the things that Jesus really liked Nathaniel about Nathaniel was that he was honest. It was just like, look, this guy's real. I like real. Real is good. And one of those real moments is us going, sometimes we might fall a little bit short. What's cool about God, or something that you should recognize, is he is never falling short in the department of love. Now, I fall short. I fall short for the Lord. I don't fully love the Lord the way I should. In my communion with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I fall short in my love with my wife, and I fall short in love with my kids, with my grandkids, with my friends, with my coworkers. I think with every people group, the people at the church, right? Every and anything that I can think of. I mean, I fall short. But God never falls short in loving us. Ever. And that's something that is to be praised, that we praise the Lord because that love never changes. That love is unfailing. It does not miss a beat. I've missed a beat, but God doesn't. And then Ezra says this, I felt encouraged because the gracious hand of the Lord my God was on me. There are times where you don't understand everything that's going on, I'm with you, but that you know that even in the process, God is still with you. And even though you don't understand why he allows it or don't understand where it's going to end up, and I've got that going on in many places, it's just encouraging to know that God is with us. The idea of deism is a term that's used that has to do with people that believe that God actually did create the universe and he created the earth, but then he left. So he's like, okay, well, I'm going to the Bermuda of another galaxy, and I'll see you guys down the road. Okay, that's deism. That and there was people say, oh, well, there was many, you know, political leaders that thought that and so on. So it was rubbish. It's just rubbish. People just saying things they have no idea about. The idea behind that is that it would put to contrast or be contradictory to Jesus's name, God with us, what Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of age. Hebrews chapter 13:5, and lo, I'm with you always. Deuteronomy 31:6, I'm with you always. Haggai chapter 1, I the Lord am with you. The Lord is with us. And here in Ezra, he's like, you know what? The Lord's with me, and it's encouraging to me. And those two principles are encouraging. You think, well, it's Monday, it's bluesy. You know what's encouraging? That God loves you so much, his love for you never fails. He doesn't miss a beat. He never is off. And then the other thing is that he's with you. And we should be encouraged by these things. We should be blessed by these things. Of all the stuff that's going on, you know, people, what they do is they dread Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then we all like the weekend. Who doesn't like the weekend? Because you don't have to work as hard. I mean, come on. I mean, everybody likes that. There's nothing wrong with that. But in life, as you stand before God, you're not going to go, you know, Mondays were really a bet. Why did you make Mondays? That ain't going to happen. What you're going to find out is you're either with the Lord and he's with you or not. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going to happen. It's not going to be this multiple choice. I do find it humorous that some of the top atheists are like, the main top atheist guy said, I'm going to ask God why it was so hard to find you. Why would you make it so hard for me to find you? And I just always think God's going to answer saying, why were you so stupid? It's like I don't think God's going to answer to anybody along those lines. I think the answer is this. He's faithful. He's with us. He never misses a beat. He's standing with you in the midst of your trial. He's standing there before your trial, in the middle of your trial, at the end of your trial, from the beginning of your faith to the middle of your faith to the end of your faith, and he's never leaving you. Now, are you going to ignore him from time to time? Probably. I mean, sometimes sin gets the better of us at bad moments. It does happen. But is he going to abandon you? No, he can't be unfaithful. He's absolutely fantastic. And he loves you. And you know, the biggest thing that I've learned, I've been a Christian for, I guess it's either 43 or 44 years in like 2 months. I can't remember. The biggest thing is that when I weep, God knows my pain. People don't know my pain. People don't know that feeling on the inside of, oh, the raw inside feels like it's scratched with a razor blade kind of thing. But God does. And he knows where I'm messing up, and he knows where I'm doing good. By the way, I don't want you to just think he knows only the mess ups. He knows the good things. He knows the things I'm doing right. He knows the devotional part. That's good. But he knows me, and he still loves me. That's where I find the encouragement. That's where I find a place to praise him. That's where I find that idea that he knows me and he still loves me. He knows what I'm made of, but he still cares. And he walks with me. And that's encouraging. I mean, there's a lot of loneliness in the human existence. Even when you are married to the most wonderful girl. I mean, Noelle's like the best gal ever. But guess what? There's times where I'm on the bed and I look up to God and only he can know what's going on in my heart and mind. But he does. And he cares, right? I mean, that's just incredible. God is incredible to you and I. He treats us well. He encourages us. He doesn't abandon us. And his trials have purpose. Our trust, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. His faithfulness never fails. That's encouraging. That should bless you. And that's a lot more cheery than what we're going to talk about in the next section. So enjoy it, because now it's going to end as soon as you come back.
All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. By the way, the answer was 12. We'll be back.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, yeah. La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience.
So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth, we got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree And I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the axe up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, so I did not do a very good job on telling you that last trivia question actually was 12. How old was Jesus when he went back to Jerusalem? 12 years, 12, 12, 12. 12 years. Okay, sorry. Okay, I'll make this a little easier. True or false? Now. I'm warning you. Is that a nice way to say that? You have been warned. True or false? There is only one mention in the Gospels of a meeting between Jesus and the Apostle Paul. True or false? If you think you know the answer to that question, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email in david@hemustincrease.org. Remember, I warned you. Never forget that. That's your only kind of hint you get from me. True or false, there is only one mention in the Gospels of the meeting between Jesus and the Apostle Paul. True or false? In the meantime, we're going to do history. So let's play our history music.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, a couple of cool things, a couple of not brilliant things, so kind of like all together. Today is National Raspberry Cake Day. I don't know, how could you go wrong with that, right?
I don't know. I'm not a fan of raspberry.
You don't like raspberry?
No.
I love like raspberry popsicles. Do you ever get their fruit popsicles with little raspberry? No. Oh, see, I love those. Okay. Blech. All right. It's National Stick Out Your Tongue Day. I would not suggest anybody doing that. I just feel that is a bad idea. Can you imagine driving down the road doing that and then, road rage. I mean, that's just like a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And then it's National Get Out of the Doghouse Day, which is, I guess, the way that you're supposed to get out of the doghouse
is. But isn't that every day?
Yeah. Well, it is for me. I mean, I'm just going to, actually what I'd like to figure out is how to get my dogs to get out of the doghouse, because in the sense that they are just not, I'm having problems with Bert.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's great, except between 6:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. while I'm doing my most intense concentration on my doctorate. Then Bert decides that's the time to try and take every pencil, mouse, cord, or whatever from my existence. I'm just not sure why this is happening. Okay, last two things to tell you. Number one, I thought these two were actually worthwhile. On this day in 1961, the first regularly scheduled in-flight movie, TWA, began showing in-flight movies on 1961 on this day. Which was like, really? All the way back then?
Wow.
I did not know that.
No, neither did I.
And then this one I thought was just bizarre, so I'll let you guys figure it out. 1948, bloomers were introduced. Bloomers were introduced in the new women's fashion by wearing a pair to the first women's right convention in New York. The only thing I don't understand, because the bloomers are those big puffy things, how did that help them?
It was fashionable.
Okay.
Not helpful, fashionable.
So was an umbrella. Okay. All right, somebody calling in. Let's see. you guys. It takes a little while to get things going. Right? Okay. Sure it does, Dave.
So we've got that question that looks like somebody's going to answer it, so I'll go ahead and lean over that direction. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Donna Gale.
Hi, Donna. Oh, my goodness. How are things going? How are you and how are your daughter? How's everybody doing?
Well, she's doing as well as expected. They had our service in Las Vegas yesterday. Saturday.
Okay. All right.
And they're going to have another one in Texas. He's from Texas. They just been in Las Vegas for 2 years.
Okay. Well, we want everybody praying for Donna Gale. Her son-in-law had a terrible thing happen, so he kind of passed suddenly, huh?
Yeah, he had a blood clot.
Oh. Well, we are going to keep praying for you, and I'm praying the Lord just comforts you, that he be the God of comfort, and that you could extend that comfort to others.
Thank you so much. And my daughter says she really felt your prayers. She thank you for it.
You got it. Anything that we can do, anytime we can help in any way, let us know. Now, are you calling to answer the trivia question? Feel good about the trivia question? Because it's a classic. True or false.
I don't know if I'm right, but I'm going to try.
Okay. It's true or false. So you got a 50-50, okay? There's only one mention in the Gospels of the meeting between Jesus and the Apostle Paul.
I say true.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. The Apostle Paul was not in the Gospels, but he was in Acts, right? So,
right. The one I'm talking about is Acts.
That's it. And then we'll go right with that one because it wasn't in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It was in the book of Acts. So yeah. We'll give you that one. So you knew it wasn't in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You knew it was in the book of Acts, right?
That's just when he got blind and knocked it off that horse.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you that one then, okay?
Okay. Okay. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thy persecutor.
That's right. You know what's amazing about that text is that Saul was persecuting the church, but Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? And shows you how closely Jesus identifies with his people, right?
Right.
That's good. Okay, good job. Thank you. You are awesome, and we'll keep praying for you, okay?
Okay, appreciate it.
You got it. God bless you. Okay. All right, so we did that. Everybody got an update on Donna Gale. You guys got to be praying for her. So what she knew is it was in Acts, not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why I directed it that way. I'm sure everybody can figure that out. I'll just leave that there and let you guys figure that out. I want to do this portion right here in Ezra chapter 8. This is disturbing. Don't get overly disturbed by it, but it was disturbing. This will be the last 5 minutes of the show. Ezra's journey to Jerusalem. He says this in Ezra 8:15. I assembled the exiles at the canal, and we camped there for 3 days while I went over the list of people of the priests who had arrived, and I found out that not one Levite had volunteered to come along. The reason that I highlighted this and wanted to talk about this is Levites were the people that were connected to the services of the kingdom of God and of the temple of God. And as Ezra's going through the list, there wasn't a single Levite on the list that had volunteered to help. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because of you and me and everybody else. We can't be those Christians that, we'll let somebody else do it. Just let somebody else do it. I'm not going to do it. Let somebody else do it. No. Let somebody else do it. Let me tell you an element that will be more true and people won't like it, and that is when the Lord gives you opportunity to serve, to be a servant. Being a servant is not always the perfect fit. In other words, because you're a servant, it doesn't mean that you get a rainbow behind you and Skittles. Sometimes being a servant is doing something that is very being a servant-like. Which means that it's not all getting like a new pair of tap shoes and a hat. Sometimes you do it because it just needs to be done. And we need to be, as a church in large, I'm going to say this really nice, a little bit more voluntary people in church for temple work than perhaps we are. We don't go to church service to be entertained. Okay? This is not a free concert on Sunday morning. It's not a, you know, it's not, this is not all about, well, what can you pour into me? Because in that mindset, then the body of Christ has no opportunity to strengthen one another. That's just the leadership, quote unquote, strengthening everybody else. That's not the goal. He's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry to equip the saints to do the work. It's not so that you and I can be entertained. It's not so that the worship band can be excellent, al par excellence, and many of them are, or the teacher be a great, give a great sermon, which many sermons are great, but it's also for us to participate in. Church service is not just about receiving. It's about giving. And it's not a one-way street in the kingdom of God. It's not a one-way street at your church. Shouldn't be that way. We should all be participating together. And Ezra was mad that there weren't any Levites who had volunteered. And the reason that I bring it up is because we can't be like those guys who didn't volunteer. That's not good. God didn't like that. He wants people to stick it. Now, I'm not telling you to do something you're opposed to doing, or I'm not, you know, telling you to go back to school or any of that. But I am saying that if there's an opportunity for you to serve, the answer to that service doesn't only exist because it feels right. Sometimes you do it because in your faith, you know that being a servant honors the Lord. And so you do it as unto the Lord and to be a blessing to other people. One of the things that I fail to do is I fail to do that because I do a lot of ministry here, but I don't do as much stuff in the church as I should. And it's really funny because I've had the Lord challenge me on it a couple times, and you read this and you go, oh, great. Now this is great because I need to be doing even more. Here's the process. Be a volunteer because it's Christ-like. To give of your time, your treasure, and your talent in such a way as to be a blessing to other people. And you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. And make sure that people that do that for you in ministry formats, you let them know you appreciate it. That's all the reward that they may ever receive on this side. But you telling them they're a blessing, that's a cool thing too. Right? All right. Good show. A lot of fun. Different. I like different. For me, different's cool. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone and everything
we find. He's the hungry giant. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.